Today on Dog Pound Report, free agency looms large over Berea. Draft speculation hits high gear, and we hear from one of the newest Cleveland Browns. This is Dog Pound Report. Good morning, Cleveland, and welcome to the first episode of Dog Pound Report, a show that will cover all Browns and NFL news leading up to the 2015 season. I'm Nathan Zagura here with Andy Baskin. Great to be with you. Get this partnership started, and let's get rolling with our first trending topic. Last week, the Browns agreed to terms with veteran quarterback Josh McCown, and here's what he had to say about coming to Cleveland.
I'm looking forward to playing here and experiencing the fans, and because of the support they have for this team. They're very passionate in their support for this team, and when you experience passionate fans like that, it just gives you that added incentive to go out and work even harder to get it done for them, because you want to bring, you know, something special to them. You know, people, you know, especially the ones that are in the stadium and come to the games, they spend their money, you know, on ticket, you know, to come to experience some good football, and so that's what you want to give to them. So that's obviously something I'm excited about is you know, playing in, you know, here and experiencing the dog pound and the passion that they bring.
Andy, we heard that Josh McCown had offers from the Browns, the Bills, the Jets, and the Bears, yet he chose to come to Cleveland. What do you think about this signing?
I think it's a great opportunity. I think it's really good for Johnny Manziel as well, because you got a guy who's one of his neighbors from Texas. Plus, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but, I mean, here's a guy that's also coached a little bit of high school football as well. So, I mean, on top of the fact that you've got a quality guy that you can hand the ball to, who can be starting quarterback number 23 since 1999, if you need to in the first couple weeks, I think it's a great place for the Browns to go as far as looking for some comfort, to know exactly what you've got in a quarterback, and to be able to go out and execute a new offense.
Yeah, this is a guy who comes in at 35, knows where he is in his career. He's saying, listen, if I need to come in and start, I will. If you need me to come in and mentor, I'll do that. You hope he can recapture that form when he was 13-1 in terms of touchdowns, interceptions with the Chicago Bears just a couple years ago. And speaking of Josh McCown, they say he's a consummate professional. They can't have enough of those guys in the locker room for the Browns. Our trending topic number two, Andy, is free agency. Looming large, as we said in the open, over Berea. The Browns have six guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents. Do you expect any of them back? And let's start with the big name, Buster Skrine.
Well, I'd love to have Buster Skrine back. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago that we said, play like a Brown. That's what Buster Skrine is. Take a guy from just a couple years ago where the fans were like, I don't know what this guy's going to be able to do. They were hard on him. But, man, he has gone through the battles, and he has proven to Browns fans that he is what play like a Brown is. Unfortunately, he's a free agent, and he's going to garner a lot of cash on the free market. So let's see where the Browns want to go with this. Could he be paid $7, $8, $9, $10 million? If that might be a little too rich for the blood here when you've got all that other money invested in the defensive backfield and a high draft pick.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing right now about Buster. These command good money, 4 interceptions, 18 passes defense last year. And you have to look at it maybe from a strategic standpoint. Do you ultimately want Justin Gilbert or Pierre Desir, the guys you drafted, to start opposite Hayden? If so, then does Buster slide inside? And is he worth that money when you've got Kaywan Williams waiting in the wings? He could be priced out, leading to a competition for Gilbert and Desir at that number two spot. Jordan Cameron, a Pro Bowler in 2013, injury-shortened season in 2014. Will he be back with the Browns?
I'm ready to go to the draft. I want a guy named Max Williams coming out of Minnesota. So I don't think Jordan Cameron's coming back next year. You've got concussion issues with him as well. So you know what? He had a great run here. I think fans liked watching him play. But as always is in free agency, that player is free to go wherever he wants, and I think we've seen the last of Jordan Cameron.
Now, Jabal Sheard, 15.5 sacks his first 2 years with the Browns as a 4-3 defensive end. Once he moved to the 3-4, not sure if it was a fit, but played like a Brown, played hurt last year. You think he's coming back?
No, I don't think he's coming back. I think we could look at all these free agents and say, okay, are the Browns going to find a spot for this guy or not? And, you know, when you go through regime changes, you go through coaching changes, things happen. It's a business. How many times have you put a microphone in front of some guy's face? I think we'll have a chance to root for him on another team.
Tabo Rubin, not likely to be back. Brian Hoyer, now with the signing of Josh McCown, not likely to be back as well. The one guy who might be back, Miles Austin, played very well, productive on third downs, was kind of the go-to guy. They called him Money Miles. He seems to me maybe if they bring a number two receiver in, it could be Miles Austin.
No matter who the quarterback is with Miles Austin, if they can get him to come back, that's your guy. I know Browns fans want to think back to Brian Brennan and a guy that was there for them every time on third down that you can make the pass and get him to catch it. That's what I thought about Miles Austin. Hey, you may not have had a barn burner going to the house on a 90-yard touchdown, but you knew you could pick up a first down with Miles Austin. I would love to see him come back.
Move the chains. That's what it's all about. So it sounds like the Browns might not be bringing any of these guys back, which means, A, compensatory picks, but also you're going to have to add people in free agency. So what positions and players do you see the Browns targeting when they get to go and pluck from around the league?
Wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. I think every fan in Northeast Ohio wants the Browns to go out and pick up a wide receiver. I know there's a couple local guys that everyone wants to talk about. Brian Hartline would be a great addition to this team if you can bring him in as a number two guy. You've got Cecil Shorts, Mount Union guy. There are plenty of names out there. I wouldn't mind seeing Ted Ginn be able to play one of the later roles as a wide receiver and have somebody that can return kicks, because let's face it, this team needs somebody to return kicks.
The return game did struggle last year. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Browns look at the defensive line, perhaps a guy like Dan Williams, Terrence Knighton, or even Kendrick Ellis, who played for Mike Pettine with the Jets. And at tight end, Charles Clay got the transition tag, but seems like he'd be a very good fit if Jordan Cameron's gone and they don't address it via the draft. Niles Paul, a move tight end from the Washington Redskins, somebody to keep an eye on. And how about outside linebacker Jerry Hughes from Buffalo? 10 sacks each of the last 2 years, including 2013 when he played for Mike Pettine.
Doesn't Jerry Hughes seem like the perfect fit here, especially when you look at the money? What's he going to garner? Where do you think he's going to go?
He could go 8-9 sack master. It's an expensive league at that position.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. If you're the head coach, don't you, again, whether it's the quarterback room or it's someone who's going to rush the outside edge, if you're the head coach and you've got familiarity with a guy and you know he's the guy you want out there, you go out and get him. Hey, maybe the coach just gets at least one guy to go up to Ray. Ray, I need this one guy. That's my guy if I'm Mike Pettine.
Could be Jerry Hughes. Could be like Paul Kruger coming from the Ravens to the Browns. Pernell McPhee, a guy out there that certainly turned a lot of heads last year in Baltimore. So that's a look at what's going on in our trending topics. Coming up next, mock drafts, free agency, and more on the Browns' new offensive coordinator, Flip John DeFilippo.
Listen to this crowd. Miles Austin comes in motion to the near side, right. Hoyer's got the snap. Back to pass. Bryant to the middle. Throws. Austin got it. Over the 30. Over the 35. Out to the 37. That's a first down. On third down. Back to pass. Throws. Picked off. Buster Screen's got it. At the 25. Goes across the field. Now up the field. He's to the 30. 35. He's to the 40. 45. He's to the 50. 45. He's inside the 45. At the 43. Screen picked it off and had a great run back. And then he got nailed from behind.
Welcome back, Dog Pound. One of the biggest questions for the 2015 season, seems to be the question every season for the Browns, is who will be the quarterback? We talked to newly named offensive coordinator John DeFilippo about that important position.
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is solidify the quarterback room. I mean, that's the first order of business on any team, whether you're coaching high school, college, or the pros. So we need to have an answer in the quarterback room. We're in the process of doing that, and we're looking forward to getting some guys in there. And whoever that may be, whether they're here or not, we're looking forward to getting those guys in, learning the new offense. And the other thing will be just understanding what our guys do well. I have a good feel for it. I've watched all of our games. But to see these guys do that in person, you know, it's different than watching it on tape. It's because seeing their personalities and getting to know them as people, I think that's a whole different ball game than watching, you know, on tape and seeing what you think these guys do well, is actually seeing it and hearing it from them, what they see, how they see themselves. So that's going to be a process. It's not something that can happen overnight. The quarterback position is not going to be solved overnight, but it's going to get solved, and we're going to be onward and upward from there.
Flip understands quarterback is the key in the National Football League. He's a first-time play caller, but he worked with Derek Carr last year in Oakland. He's brought in his guy, Josh McCown. Seems to have a good handle on what he wants to do.
Well, you walk in any room, and if you know somebody in there already, I think you're in better shape than maybe we were last year. And there aren't the questions of, you know, the competition. While there should be a competition, and that's what Ray Farmer wants, I think you've got a quarterback in there, a veteran this year. You can hand the ball to him, let him start, and then you've got two young quarterbacks and one we all know in Johnny Football that we're waiting to see that happen. So we wait for the natural maturing process here, but that quarterback room feels a little bit much more stabler than maybe it did last year.
It does feel more stable. McCown, a guy who knows his role at this point, 35 years of age, ready to come in and start if need be, and can also mentor Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, and he could be mentoring somebody else. Now, the question of who's going to be in that quarterback room when it's all said and done could be answered on draft night. Not likely with one of the first two picks, but the Browns could eventually go to the quarterback position. And joining us via satellite right now is Cleveland.com Browns writer Tom Reed. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Tom, it's great to have you. I want to get right to it. What do you think the Browns should do at 12 and 19?
Well, assuming they don't make any blockbuster move to go up to get one of the quarterbacks, I think the two positions of greatest need are the wide receiver and defensive line. If Kevin White is there at 12, I take Kevin White at 12. At 19, I would go ahead and take Malcolm Brown if he's available. So in that order, that would be my dream scenario if I could get those two guys.
All right, Tom, so if you don't think they're taking a quarterback with those first two picks, should they target a quarterback in some of the middle rounds?
Yeah, I can definitely see a flyer. I don't think any of those other guys besides Mariota and Winston are probably guys that can come in and start right away. But, yeah, I think so. Third or fourth round, if the guys are available, yeah, grab one of them.
Tom, you had a great article today about Ray Farmer and his scouting team, and we know scouting's critical to success on draft day. What did you find out while writing that?
I found out how important the area scouts are. I think a lot of times the fans think that it really comes down to the general manager and some of the scouts, but what happens with the area scouts, the guys are right in there. They get to know some of these kids, where the kids are from. They're very important when it comes to making decisions on who to draft.
Hey, Tom, what do you think fans need to know about the scouting staff? Because I think people want to point fingers when things don't go right in the first round, or maybe you come up with a gem like Joel Bentonio a little bit later in the draft. What do fans need to know about that scouting staff to make them smarter fans?
Well, I think it's these guys are so important. To uncover the little details. You know, a lot of guys can sit there. We can all sit there and watch film and say this guy looks really good. But I think that the scouts are the guys that are around the campus all year round. They know those communities really well, and they can tell the general manager or the coach, look, I really think this guy. One thing you really need to know about this guy is this. And I think it helps in the process of making decisions on draft night.
Tom, what else you got coming up on Cleveland.com as far as the draft is concerned, and where's your focus as we head into the nitty-gritty on this?
Well, coming up, of course, guys, it's going to be all about free agency this week. It starts coming this week. It's going to be an exciting time. It'll be interesting to see which way the Browns go. I thought they did a pretty nice job in free agency last year, and we'll see where they go this year.
Tom, thanks so much for joining us. Coming up on Dog Pound Report, we'll have news from around the league and our weekly predictions.
Here's Glennon, first down, play action, Kruger coming off the corner. Glennon steps up, going long, got a man down there, and it's tipped away and tipped into the arms of Whitner. Hits a peck, he's to the 40, 50, 45, down the sideline, 30. Gets away from Glennon, but he rips him down at the 21-yard line. Joe Hayden tipped it, and Whitner ended up with the pick. Hoyer shotgun, waiting, takes the snap, back to pass, unloads over the middle, Cameron's got it, and he's wide open, 50, 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jordan Cameron, 80 yards, right up the middle, touchdown, and the Browns lead 12-10.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us now is someone who will be a regular contributor to this show, Andrew Gribble, the senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew, welcome to the show. What's going on over at the Browns official website these days?
Well, it might be the off season, but it's been super busy. You know, we dug into Josh McCown's past. We provided 11 things you might not know about him. He's had a storied career, so there's a lot to talk about with that. We're also setting you up for free agency. We're getting the linebackers broken down, defensive line, defensive backfield, getting you ready all the way up until Tuesday, the big day for the start of free agency. But really, the big story has been your interview, actually, with John DeFilippo and Cleveland Browns Daily. We covered it extensively and gave the fans a sneak preview of what's to come with this offense.
Flip's certainly very impressive. What I liked is that he had a plan for Johnny Manziel. It's going to be regimented. You're going to do this on Tuesdays, this on Wednesdays, so he can eat, sleep, and breathe football. But his offense, that really is the big story. What are going to be some of the key components there?
Right. We're going to have a better idea of seeing what this thing comes together when training camp gets started, OTAs, things like that. But the core staples of it, it's going to start with the running game. He really likes what he has with the offensive line. Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, Joel Bitonio, good pieces to build behind. Your running backs, he wants them to get catching passes more.
Thank you.
Terrence West, that's Isaiah Crowell, get him spread out, get him moving, maybe run some routes out there. He wants a playmaking tight end, kind of an F position, put him in the backfield, line him up. do a lot of different things with him. He had it like Marcel Reese in Oakland. He's a pro bowler. Also, when the offense is installed, he wants one voice, wants everyone on the same page, wants everyone to know all the positions, get them ready like that. And then when it comes to Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel, he wants one playbook. Maybe some different plays with Josh McCown being more of a drop-back passer, Johnny Manziel doing his thing out in the side. But really, it's going to come down to really simple things, basic, and so they're all on the same page.
All right, but you missed the big hot topic, wide receiver, because I think everybody in town wants to see this team pick up a wide receiver. What were his thoughts on that, and how will they implement him? And, you know, we had some pretty good wide receivers last year. What can we look forward to?
I think everyone wants that big number one receiver, the guy that's going to make the Pro Bowl for you every year. But his key word was diversity. He wants guys with different skill sets, maybe some good outside receivers, good slot receivers. He already has that with Hawk. So I think he just wants guys that can do different things, move them around, get the most out of their skill sets.
All right, well, let's transition right back into that with you, Nathan. So you talk a little bit about what happened this week. I mean, we're talking about player-for-player trades in the NFL. You don't see that very often. It was a big week for news, and we're headed for a bigger week. But going into free agency, a lot of action.
No question. What is it, Chip Kelly? What does he think that he's going? He's got his own thing. He thinks this is Madden or fantasy football. He's trading LeSean McCoy, one of the best running backs in the National Football League, straight up for Kiko Alonso. I think he actually got the better of that deal. Gave up a running back towards the end of his career. Not the end of his career, but certainly at a big salary for a cheap middle linebacker who played like a pro bowler coming off an ACL. But he's an Oregon Duck, and I think Chip Kelly likes it. He cut a couple other guys, Kerry Williams, Trent Cole, freeing up about $30 million in cap space. And then there was another trade out there, the quarterback position. Matt Castle going to the Bills from the Vikings for a later round pick. Now, what does that mean? You've got Josh McCown now starting in Cleveland, Matt Castle being tabbed to be the starter in Buffalo. For these free agent quarterbacks, the market's drying up. There aren't really any clear-cut starting jobs left because you figure Winston's going to go to Tampa, and they haven't even gotten a chance to get started in free agency yet.
So you've got all this stuff going on. I mean, this is really one of the craziest weeks going into it that I can remember.
Chip Kelly's got the power. There's no question.
And I also got to think that, I mean, people are hitting this on the web as well. I mean, people want to know exactly what this team's going to do. We've already talked about the offense. As we look forward and talk a little bit maybe towards the defense and what's going to happen in the draft, what's the feeling over there at Browns.com?
Well, I think the wide receivers, what's drawing people to the website. People want to know how are the Browns going to improve their wide receiving core. I think there's already some good pieces in place with Taylor Gabriel, Andrew Hawkins, but this free agency market, it's loaded with number two receivers. You know, you go, even Randall Cobb is going to command number one money, but he might be a number two receiver on a lot of different teams. But if the Browns want that number one receiver, probably going to have to go through the draft, but there's no shortage of number twos. Cecil Shorts, you mentioned earlier, a guy like Michael Crabtree, Hakeem Nicks in Indianapolis. Jeremy Maclin is available. So there's so many of those guys that you can pad the depth of that receiving core. But again, if you want that potential Pro Bowl number one guy, it's going to have to be in late April or early May.
Probably got to be the draft, or now we're hearing some big names like a Brandon Marshall, Andre Johnson, Dwayne Bowe maybe as trade targets.
You're also talking about a draft where you've got about seven guys that could get drafted in the first round that are over 6'1". I mean, that's what I think Browns fans are looking for.
Well, he's talking about diversity. You've got the under 6 foot market covered right now at the wide receiver position. You got to get some guys with size. Now, they have Rodney Smith, 6'5". It'll be interesting to see if he gets an opportunity to develop. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us. Keep up the great stuff at ClevelandBrowns.com. Up next, it's our social post of the week, and you'll get our predictions on the coming week and what it's going to mean for Cleveland Browns football.
13 seconds left. Hoyer back, looking, lobbing. Hawkins is wide open, caught it! He's down to the 11-yard line with 6 seconds left. Hawkins was wide open, Doug.
Oh, yeah.
Shotgun for Andrew Luck. He takes the snap, back to pass. Inside his five, he got hit as he threw it, picked off! Picked off, as getting it is Justin Gilbert. He's to the 15, wide right 10, he's to the 5, touchdown! Justin Gilbert! Who would have thought it? 22 yards on the return, and the Browns lead 20-7.
Welcome back, Dog Pound. The players are doing everything in the offseason, from putting on football camps in Istanbul, Turkey, to walking the catwalk for charity. Now, a big part of the offseason is also about staying in shape. And this week's social post of the week comes from Joe Hayden's Instagram. It's a picture of Joe Hayden and his teammate Justin Gilbert working out in Miami. Now, Andy, I got to tell you, I like to see this. Justin Gilbert with Joe Hayden. Nothing bad about that.
Well, now that we're over all of our South Beach fears, I think everything's good here in Northeast Ohio when it comes to that. But I do think it's a great sign when you've got a young guy that didn't have the perfect first year, and he knows there are more things expected out of him coming out of the next season. Why not hang out with that Grizzly veteran, the guy that knows it, and a guy that has a little bit of trouble along the way? But you know what? I think that's good. I think it's a great teaching lesson for him to be able to be around Joe Hayden in the offseason. And anytime you see these guys working out together, that's all good news.
Joe Hayden is Cleveland. He is the Browns. He got rewarded. He got paid the big contract. He's already putting in work, and I think that's just a great role model for a guy like Justin Gilbert. And if Buster Skrine, as we talked about earlier, is not back, Justin Gilbert's going to be counted on to play a big role. He'll be competing with Pierre Desir and whoever else they sign, if they do, or draft at cornerback to start opposite Hayden. So for a guy who said his first year was about learning to be a professional, there's nothing better to be doing in the offseason than being and hanging around a two-time Pro Bowler, one of the very best at what he does.
And they're doing it in South Beach, so they might as well have fun. The weather's been so bad around here.
Yeah, they're smart. They might as well enjoy that weather. I mean, get us out of here. Here we go. Now it is time for our weekly predictions. It's a segment we'll bring to you every week here on Dog Pound Report, where we look into our crystal balls, mine's at the cleaners currently, and tell you what is going to happen in the upcoming week. And Andy, I'll start with you.
Well, we got free agency coming up this week. So I think that if I'm Mike Pettine, again, I want to be able to take my wand and say, Ray, I need one guy in particular. I want to be comfortable with the guy we're going to bring in, and I'm going for Jerry Hughes, a guy that can come off the end, a guy that's going to be able to attack. We're going to redo a little bit of this defensive line up front. I want a guy I know I can count on. I know I made him better in Buffalo, and I can do that for him right here in Cleveland, too.
Double-digit sacks each of the last 2 years. And for the Browns, you need to stop the run. You need to get pressure on the quarterback. Jerry Hughes would help with the latter, getting pressure on the quarterback. You'd see him opposite, you know, Paul Kruger getting after the quarterback, having some meetings.
That's my bold prediction. I'm hoping that we hear by the end of the week that he's a Cleveland Brown.
All right, for me, I'm going to go with a big free agent signing as well. I'm not going to get so specific, but I'm going to go with a wide receiver that's going to be an impact player. I think it'll be somebody higher than the level perhaps Browns fans are anticipating, somebody that will get you excited for whoever is the quarterback to have that weapon, and hopefully they'll pair him with another weapon in the draft, and all of a sudden you say, hey, we have this impact receiver. We drafted maybe a Devontae Parker. We've got Andrew Hawkins in the slot. Now you're feeling pretty good about this receiving core.
Will he be taller than you? That's my question. 6'4".
Maybe not taller than me.
Will we have a wide receiver taller than you?
He will be between 6 feet and 6'4".
Good enough.
Hopefully that's not too bold, but I think it'll be important. I think size matters in the NFL. You certainly see it in the red zone with these big guys. You talked earlier about Max Williams, maybe throw that pass-catching tight end in the draft, and all of a sudden we're cooking with gas with this offense here. Hey, Dog Pound, thanks for joining us on the debut edition of Dog Pound Report. Make sure to tune into Cleveland Browns Daily with myself and Matt Wilhelm on ESPN 850. And, of course, you can find my guy Andy Baskin here weekdays on News Channel 5 and on 92.3 The Fan for Baskin and Phelps at 10 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, Cleveland, and don't forget that we bark together on the Dog Pound Report.